My name is Michelle Owoon. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The aim of the research is to compile a picture of modern day Britain. Can I ask you please, first of all, your name, your age and where you come from?
My name's Pepe Toxo. I'm 48 just, and I'm currently live in Basingstoke, originally from Cardiff.
Can you tell me a bit more about where you come from? That's an unusual name.
Well, it's from my father. It's a Venetian name. He came over in 57 to London, where he worked at Quo Vadis, quite a famous restaurant, I think. Met my mother, who was from Merthyr Tydfil, she's passed away, unfortunately. And it went on from there. I was born in Cardiff, brought up in Wales as a Welsh person. Currently live in England, long story where that is, but I'm married with an English son.
Did you spend any time in Italy?
Not really, no. I travelled there a few times. I spent 3 months working in Rome in 1993. I went with the intention of improving my Italian and found out that everybody just wants to speak English all the time there, so never actually managed to brush my Italian up.
Can you tell me a bit more about where you're from?
Well, Cardiff, fantastic city. I moved away because I got fed up with it, and I probably would never go back, but since I left, it's been through a renaissance, and it's been rebuilt a couple of times, and now with Doctor Who is mainly the main organ for promoting Cardiff, it's become a really famous place. Fantastic city, it's like a mini London, very compact, all the shopping you could want, fantastic nightlife. I think quite a moneyed place now, really, which always puzzles me because I can never find the jobs that pay the money that could provide the lifestyle some people seem to have there.
Why has Doctor Who had such a big impact in Cardiff?
It's made in Cardiff by BBC Wales, and Doctor Who and Torchwood are both filmed there. Torchwood's base is famously underneath the bay. Well, it's been blown up now. Sorry if anybody's not seen it yet.
Can I ask you how you heard about this project?
I've been racking my brains on that. I must have read it at some point. It was probably advertised in either the Evening Standard or the Metro as a small article about a project that Anthony Gormley was going to put together with a website. And I remember applying very early on, practically as soon as the website came up. So I heard about it very, very soon, and it wasn't through any of the current advertising or anything like that. So I put my name down immediately, really, without a thought of what I possibly would do on the plinth.
Why did you do that? Why did you put your name down immediately?
That's a very good question. The application process asks for 3 words to describe yourself, and I actually originally put up for anything. And I think it's because of that. It sounded exciting, it sounded different. I like to do different things and experience new things, and it just sounded like a fantastic idea, and I wanted to be part of that. I'm not naturally a great artist, although I do dabble. And I didn't even think about the art side of it. Just being part of the event was something, a piece of history, if you like, that I wanted to be involved with.
What did you do when you heard you had a play?
I was very excited, actually. Thinking back at it, there was no negative thoughts. I was very excited and immediately started thinking about what I would do. And by that time, I applied to do a sponsored bicycle ride in aid of Scope. I'm wearing a Scope t-shirt, as you can see now, where I'm riding my Brompton bicycle from the London Eye to the Eiffel Tower in September. So that's a sponsored event I'm doing, and I combined that with the thought that I wanted to utilise the hour for some good. One of my traits is that I don't like spending time doing something unless I get something out of it. I'm not very good at relaxing, and it seemed an ideal opportunity for me to get up there, spend the hour promoting Scope. Maybe I've got some people from Scope coming to mill around in the crowd, maybe make some money for Scope out of it. Only a couple of days ago I thought perhaps I'll advertise a mobile phone number as well and see if people around the world want to give me a ring, so I'll be doing that also.
Why did you choose Scope as that particular charity?
Another good question. I like charities that do things for children. And although Scope is a charity that advertises itself as doing things for disabled people, they're primarily people with cerebral palsy, and the majority of these people are children, so they don't have a choice in their condition. the condition is very much misunderstood because it's not an illness, it's not a mental condition, it's a physical condition. It does cause them problems, and it causes them the problems that they experience means they don't get the opportunities and choice. In fact, they get excluded very often from things they shouldn't be excluded from. So it's all about equality and driving that forwards. And one of the things that really upsets me is how children suffer on this planet. And so I picked Scope because it's a good charity, one charity that does things for children, and just happened to be the one I picked.
Do you have children yourself?
I have one son. He's 18, so he's a man now, really. Yes. Yeah. In fact, I probably am a child compared to him. My profile, I do advertise myself as a 17-year-old trapped in a 48-year-old body.
Why do you describe yourself like that?
Because I'm a 17-year-old trapped in a 48-year-old body. Yes, the emotions. I seem to be stuck in that teenage year. And it's only in the last couple of years I've actually started getting messages from my body that, you know, hey, you can't do that anymore. I'm a very keen cyclist, so I ride a bicycle. And I find that you do fall off from time to time, and I find that when I fall off, it takes longer to get better now than it used to. And so that's an indication that I'm getting old, but I'm seeing the world through a teenager's eyes still.
What are you taking up on the plinth with you?
A bicycle. In fact, the one, or one very similar to the one I'll be riding to Paris. It'll be a new one by that time. Me, my Scope T-shirt, a megaphone, which I borrowed from Scope, so I can do some yelling to people if I feel like it. Couple of mobile phones. I'll be Twittering on my iPhone and Facebooking and taking some photographs and pushing them up to the web. I have another mobile phone. I'll advertise the number so people can call me, so it'll be interesting to see what sort of calls I get, and maybe I'll shout out to the crowd to tell someone I've got a call from Iceland or something. It'll be interesting if I get one. I've got some banners, some paper which I hope will survive any rain, and a Scope one which I'll lay out on the floor, and if maybe the wind will be kind to me and not blow that away. But that's about it, really.
Any hopes or fears?
I always hope I do a good job. I mean, it's one of the things I put pressure of my, I always see something as a piece of work. I see this as a piece of work now. So I want to live up to the project and not let the project down, be part of that. And I don't want to fall off the plinth, but that's not really a fear. I think the main thing is it's neither a hope nor a fear, but what this will give me is something, another thing I can leave after I've gone. It'll always be there, and people will always be able to see it. I think a very sad thing in life is people go through life, do their normal day-to-day routine, and when they're gone, they're gone. And probably the only thing that's left for them to remember them by is their gravestone, if there is one. I want to leave a paper trail behind me.
Can you tell me a bit more about your day-to-day routine?
I'm not very good at routines. Yeah. My job takes me from place to place, so I travel. Yesterday I was in Rugby, for example. This afternoon I'll be based in my office just off Oxford Street in Rathbone Place. Sometimes I'll travel around the country to different places. So routine doesn't exist in that sense. I'm not a very good sleeper, so I don't really sleep at a regular time. And sometimes I'll go through the whole night and do things rather than sleep. So there's no real routine in that sense. But I do have a home life. I have a well-balanced home life now. In the past, I'd work too hard, but now I do enjoy going home.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your work?
It's pretty boring, really. Everybody seems to work in IT nowadays. I'm sort of a project manager come quality specialist, problem solver, if you like. I like to solve problems. It always amazes me that despite 50, 60 years of IT being in existence now, projects still can't be built and delivered on time, to price, to schedule, to the requirements. So there's never-ending work for people like me to get out there and try and solve problems. And in my mind, it's a people thing. I like to think I'm a people person, and it's all about engaging people, getting them to work together and communicating properly.
Are there any particularly interesting projects that you've been working on recently?
Yeah, well, I've worked a lot. My ground really is healthcare. I originally was a blood group serologist in the 80s and up to the early 90s, and that's how I got into IT, through the computerisation of the blood transfusion service. So I've worked in a caring role in healthcare, but also a breakneck commercial role in IT. But I worked on some big projects. I worked on the computer system the stock exchange uses now. I worked on the client side of that, the broker side, and I remember Gordon Brown pushing the button in October 1997. And all the information that was on the screens behind him in the stock exchange at 7 o'clock in the morning was being generated from PCs that I was next to in Woking. I can't say much more about that other than it was a very interesting time. But it's a great project to be involved with. Not that I agree with the way the markets work at the moment. I personally have big problems with derivatives and how they're traded. I don't believe you can make a market in nothing, which is why one of the reasons we're in such a financial mess at the moment, really.
What's the main thing that you'd say about yourself? How would you paint a picture of the kind of person that you are?
Well, my three new words on the website are complicated, philanthropic, and rebellious. I don't like rules. I do believe rules are there to be broken. I like pushing the envelope. I like making noise. Yeah, I might describe myself as a shy person. It's quite interesting. I feel shy, but people don't think I am. That's an interesting, you know, I guess that's people's perception and how I feel looking through my eyes, I guess. As you get older, you become much wiser as to who you are and how comfortable you are in yourself. And one of the things I always say to my son is, I wish you could learn everything I know now, because you'll be 20 years ahead of everybody else if you can just understand the things I've learned. But nobody seems to have cracked that ability to get that across to youngsters yet.
What is it about technology that really interests you?
What interests me about technology is what it does for man and society, really. I do like things, and I like the design of things, but mainly that's just stuff. Technology is important, I think, you know, and I think, you know, I look at a modern mobile phone and I can see that the history of why the mobile phone does what it does today is directly linked back to the arrival of the Sony Walkman in 1979, the original brick mobile phone in the early 1980s, digital radio, the internet. All these things are converging into one, and it's changing the way our life works now. I mean, for example, I'll be taking a mobile phone up onto the plinth today as part of the project to talk to people, whereas 15 years ago that probably wouldn't have happened. I've just seen a guy use the internet for the same way. So it's the way we use technology rather than technology as a thing in itself. Having said that, the press seems to be obsessed with technology as stuff and objects. In fact, there's quite interesting magazines, some of which might have been linked to the name I just used, actually, that just are obsessed with objects, if you like, which again I think is a problem with society today, because we're consumer-led. We think we need to have the next object every single time. We have a conversation earlier on about television repairmen. I mean, children don't know what a television repairman is nowadays. A television was a long-term purchase in the 70s, an investment that was looked after and repaired. Nowadays, if TV breaks, you chuck it out, you go and buy a new one. It's ever-changing. And where technology will be in another 10 years, I have absolutely no idea, but it'll be absolutely fascinating.
Is there any particular period in the technological history that interests you?
Well, I quite like 60s, 70s, 80s. I think 70s were important because we moved into a new age of prosperity, late 70s, early 80s. Things started to become more affordable. People could start buying. More people started owning colour televisions. It's difficult to believe now that people didn't have colour TVs or even TVs in the early 70s. I remember music centres in the 70s. Everybody wanted a music centre, you know. I mean, people listening to this probably thinking, what the hell's that? But, you know, a music centre was... Every house had a music centre, but then in the 80s that changed to component systems, and everything turned black and had more lights and knobs on it, you know, and the fashion drove what we did with our technology. And of course the arrival of the new technology, computer gaming arrived in the mid 70s, and now of course it forms such a massive part of our lives, not just youngsters now. The Nintendo Wii is directly marketed at older people. There's a huge amount of information now, and I feel it's been lost.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I'd like to say thank you for letting me take part in this. I think it's extremely exciting. 16 minutes to go, the butterflies are going, but I think it's going to fly by, and I'm sure I'm going to enjoy every moment of it.
Thank you very much.